Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. In today's passage, Solomon warned his children about the dangers of sexual promiscuity and marital infidelity. With pornography being a multi-billion dollar industry in this country, Solomon's advice is just as relevant today as it was when he imparted this godly wisdom to his children about 3,000 years ago. Please open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 5 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins today's study.
Proverbs chapter 5. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow down thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou should ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ears to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad in rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breasts satisfy thee at all times and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman? And embrace the bosom of a stranger. The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. The Reformation Study Bible says this: the chapter contains warnings about the dangers of temptation. So often when temptation comes, there is no time to seek advice, but response must be immediate. Therefore, it is important to remember what has been taught from God's word to be able to use it when needed. The eyes and ears must be guarded to not allow lustful and tempting words to enter the mind and to stir the sexual passions for wrong things. Avoid the people in media that use sensual words and sexual provocations. Fill the mind rather with things that are virtuous, and remember the great disgrace and pain that comes with giving yourself away to immorality. John MacArthur wrote, quote, "It should be noted that in spite of the sinful polygamy of David and Solomon, as well as the disastrous polygamy of Rehoboam, the instruction here identifies God's ideal, one wife from youth on." And so the proverb here is what the Holy Spirit had to say to those that were on earth back then. Tell me, has anything changed? Whatever is written here is vital for you and I today. No doubt, Solomon is talking to one of his sons who obviously is married. He had many children. And he's giving him advice. No doubt, he is giving him advice from personal knowledge that he's gathered. Whenever we read, listen, or hear, or attend to in the book of Proverbs, the words that follow are vitally important. Because every year, every month, every week, every day, every second, you and I are being bombarded with a tidal wave of sexual innuendos and immorality, whether we like it or not. It's a sad but tragic fact that pornography in America is a multi-billion dollar business that is increasing in its revenues. Notice the opening phrase, attend to my wisdom. Those of us who are parents, now grandparents, remember how many times you would say to your children in a day, would you just pay attention? Solomon is going to say to his son, and presumably his daughter, because he's going to go from my son to children, I want you to listen. I want you to keep what I'm saying to you in your heart. Why? Because he's going to say in verse 22 of chapter 4, they are life to those who find them and health to a man's bones. I read this great quote this week from the Family Bible Commentary. They who will not listen in youth to the admonition of wisdom will pay a dreadful penalty for their heedlessness in old age. You and I are living on a planet where the god of this world is the devil. And the spirit of the Antichrist rules and reigns on this planet. And here we have in chapter 5, the one and only expert on human sexuality and the pleasures that he has created within the bond of marriage. And he bids us to listen. Two whole chapters in the book of Proverbs are devoted to the question of sexual purity. Here, chapter 5, and then the entire chapter 7. At the end of chapter 6, this is visited again. And so taken together, those two chapters form the longest, most extensive teaching on sexual morality that is found in all the pages of God's Word in either Old or New Testament. There's a lie that has been sold to mankind. And it goes something like this, whether you are old or young, married or unmarried. The lie goes something like this. Illicit sex is fun. It's fulfilling. And filth sells. What society calls entertainment, God calls sin. But here's the truth behind the lie. Illicit sex fails to tell you what it actually delivers: death. Solomon begins to warn his son and his children about sexual promiscuity, and in particular, he warns him about the flattering woman. Again, we'll visit this chapter, this topic in chapter 7, a little bit more at the end of chapter 6. And it really deals with directly to the seventh commandment, thou shall not commit adultery. And the tenth commandment, thou shall not covet thy neighbor's wife. You see, the Bible tells us the good, the bad, and the ugly about sex. Anything that's good is when it's in harmony with God. Anything that's bad is when it's out of harmony with God. Paul the Apostle says in chapter 6, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Therefore, use your body to give honor to God. And so whenever the topic of sexuality comes up, there's always going to be this tension, this uneasiness, isn't there? And each one of us, when we are confronted with the truth of Scripture, can make one of two choices: obey or disobey. The ultimate interpretation of pride is, there's a proverb that says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, is saying, I'm wiser than God. I'm smarter than God. I know what's better for me than God does. No, we don't. No, we don't. Proverbs 22:3 says, a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Whether we like it or not, we all get tempted with sexuality, right? Five of you raised your hands. I'll raise my hand for the rest of you. It's common to man. There's nothing new under the sun. So here's the warning. The lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Other than a reference to the phrase strange woman, as we find it in Judges chapter 11, verse 2, every other reference is found in the book of Proverbs. Well, exactly who is that strange woman? Well, let me make it real simple for you guys that are married. It's anybody who's not your wife. You know, you can look at the Hebrew and it means foreign woman or stranger, but it's anyone who is not your wife. One, and I truly mean this because I do not know who it is, unnamed pastor defined the strange woman this way, quote, the strange woman stands for any woman who takes her marital vows lightly and laughs at sexual morals. She may be a co-worker, a neighbor, a mistress, a downright prostitute. Men, she represents any woman who is not your wife. Her lips drop as a honeycomb. Men are vain. All men are vain. You know, when my beautiful wife says, honey, I can't open up this can, and she hands it to me, and she goes, wow, you are so strong. The strange woman, I've never seen anyone as handsome as you. No one listens to me like you. Oh, I noticed that you go to Bible study on Facebook. Why don't we get together sometime and study the book of Proverbs? Not chapter 5. Not chapter 7. Not the end of chapter 6. Let's just get together. Nobody prays like you do. Oh, how the mighty fall. The strange woman uses the most deceitful, flattering, and alluring speeches. And as the droppings of the honey out of the comb, they sound so sweet. And if you're a fool, you believe it. Now, if it comes from your wife, it's one thing. Listen to what Alistair Begg said. When you get into the Song of Solomon in chapter 4, you find that sweet, smooth, and super lips are part of God's provision for a husband and a wife in relationship to one another. There's nothing wrong with sweet, smooth lips. In fact, that's God's design. But in this case, used at the wrong time and in the wrong place with the wrong person, even that which is good and beautiful in the plan of God becomes perverted as a result of our own fleshly instincts and the inroads of the evil one, that although it may be delicious in its prospect, it is disgusting in its end. Honey, at the time of the Proverbs, was the sweetest thing known. And sexual temptation, like honey, proposes itself to be sweet and smooth. Looks good, promises a lot up front. The honey behind sexual temptation says it's fun to flirt, no harm in checking somebody out. You know all of the lies. Unfortunately, many of us have been redeemed from that way of thinking. But we need to renew our mind every single day. Tim Keller said this: using honey as a metaphor for sexual sin is apt because honey can be electrifying, sweet, and pleasurable, but cannot provide even the nourishment of a single square meal. And too much honey will make you ill. Sin always shows us the bait, but it hides the hook. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that there is pleasure in sin for a season. But woe once the season ends. Her end, the strange woman, the final end of yielding to her enticements, is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. When, not if, we are tempted to sinful indulgence, we need to consider well the warnings of Scripture, don't we? There's sweetness at first, but it turns out to be bitter. It starts out like honey and ends up tasting like you want to spit it out of your mouth. The short-lived pleasure is followed by long, bitter pain. And it probably hits every one of us home in some way, shape, or form. Because not only the record of Scripture, but the countless record of so many people points the tragic truth of this section of Scripture. Wormwood was poisonous. It was a bitter, oil-yielding plant that in the Scriptures is symbolic of suffering. And so the father says her feet, which speaks of her manner of life, they go down to death. Her steps take hold of hell. Lest you should ponder the path of life, her ways are movable. She's unstable, changeable, that you cannot know them. She cunningly alters her demeanor so as to retain her hold on those whom she entices. And she just knows how to play the male character. She's got practice at this. And there are women like that. You know, you talk about this whole subject of immorality. And our nation has played with it. I read from a website a few years ago, but boy, what must it sound like now? One recent study said that 7 out of 10 men between the ages of 18 to 34 visit a pornographic site in a typical month. Half of the men, now this goes back a few years, who attended a Promise Keepers rally in 1996 admitted that they had been involved with pornography within a week of attending the event. I doubt the number has gone down. Pornography now even affects those we would never think it affected. A third of the female readers of today's Christian women admitted intentionally accessing internet porn. Half of all evangelical pastors admit to viewing pornography. It's a plague. The subject of sexual promiscuity and purity is a subject that cannot be swept under the carpet. It would be very easy to say, well, why don't you guys read chapter 5 and we'll go right to chapter 8. But we need to hear this, don't we? This is in the scriptures. This is for our learning. This is for our education. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we read in verse 3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification in honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, but because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who has given unto us his Holy Spirit." And so the counsel and wisdom of God from Genesis to Revelation tells us that we must carefully avoid everything and anything which may be a step towards sexual sin. There's things we can't avoid, right? You can't avoid when you go out in public, you can't dress for ladies. You can't tell the department store which magazines they can or cannot put on the rack. There's things we can't control. But there are things that we can control, right? I can control what comes in here. Well, I love looking at that MLB app, Major League Baseball. That is really good. And I also have on my phone the most beautiful woman in the universe right there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You husbands, you can contend with, you can challenge me for that because you're married to one too. So we have to have safeguards, right? We have to have safeguards. We have to be able to block things out, just like you can put a block on your phone. We need to cut off the wave of immorality from coming in, whether it be through the television, through your iPad, through your iPhone. It's been said, and it is true, that he who needlessly places himself in the way of temptation is in imminent danger of falling, and the pain of succumbing to the temptation then becomes self-inflicted. And it comes in through the eye gate, doesn't it? And then in the mind, the imagination. Jesus said, if you look after a woman lustfully, you've committed fornication. What he's telling us there is that, first of all, when you do that, you're a sinner. You need a savior. You need a redeemer. Thank God we have one. But he's telling us, choke off the thoughts. Kill them right there. Matthew Henry wrote, "In the 16th century, those who would be kept from harm must be kept out of harm's way." What a study in contrasts between Joseph and how he fled from Potiphar's wife in Genesis 39 to David in 2 Samuel chapter 11. And now Dad tells the children, and he's telling us tonight, he says, don't give your honor or your reputation or your years unto the cruel. The sad thing about sexual immorality is that a person can spend their entire life developing a good reputation or witness and throw it all away in a moment of pleasure. Oh, God will forgive you, but that reproach remains. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study his word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.